Happy Halloween time! I'm Roz Hernandez. I'm a comedian and the host of the paranormal comedy podcast, Ghosted by Roz Hernandez, produced by Starburns Audio. On my podcast, I talk to famous people, comedians, experts, and listeners about all things paranormal. We're talking Ouija boards, poltergeists, aliens, psychics, demons, Bigfoots, and of course, ghosts. My podcast is weekly all year long, and I've got over 3 years of episodes currently available for all your spooky needs. Recent guests include Patton Oswalt.
But it felt like the minute I walked away from the monitors and I couldn't see anything, that's when the ghost started moving around.
Naomi Ekperigin.
A ghost isn't like somebody, it's not like a return. It's like somebody who was like, I don't feel like leaving.
And Chris Colfer.
Whatever it was slowly just disappeared. And that's when I knew, oh, that was not a person.
Subscribe to Ghosted by Roz Hernandez on Apple Podcasts and everywhere you get podcasts.
Crab Feast, you know what it's all about.
This is the Crab Feast. I'm yelling, fuck that. You ain't gotta ask me, cause you could trust that. Every Tuesday, you already knew though. Orion Sickler, soccer star, Juco. Above ground, cool goes better than most. Jay Larson, self-diagnosed. Go down low this week, last week. Here we go again, fuck the Crab Feast.
It's the joint.
To the Crab Feast, y'all. Another Tuesday. Another Crab Feast for that ass. That was impressive. I was impressed.
I'm working out, man.
I can tell.
Getting
you look
there.
Good.
Getting
I've been
there.
Saying it, too. You do look like you lost weight. You look good. Good for you, Jay Larson.
Thank
comedy.
You, Sickle. Thank you, Sickle.
Good to touch your pitch, as always.
Good to touch yours as well. Feast Nation, great to be here with you as well. JLarsonComedy.com, where you can go and find all tour dates for the Mostly Crowd Work tour. It's coming up around the corner. Tickets are going, so please get out there. Cleveland on October 3rd at Hilarities. Detroit, Shipping Container. I don't even know the name of that place. Shipping Container. It's a cool new venue they built out of shipping containers.
Oh, that sounds cool.
Yeah, they do stand up there, and it's going to be like the first event they do on a Thursday night. I'm kind of excited about that. I love Detroit. I'm excited to get out there. So if you live close, get out there. And then on the 5th, Friday night, at the North Bar in Chicago, I cannot wait. They do great comedy over there at North Bar. Scholars have been there recently, and DVK has been there and said it's great. And then October 10th in Portland, Oregon, Tacoma on the 11th, Wenatchee on the 12th, Oakland on the 14th, and there's a date being added on the 13th. And then again, there's going to be dates in the third week of October into November. I'm going a lot of places, so go over to JLarsonComedy.com. Grab some tickets. Invite some friends. Please come out. I would love to see you all. It's going to be a lot of fun. Again, I've been posting videos of crowd work.
I love them.
It's a different...
That surrogate's fucking great.
I know. It's crazy. So crazy. So many crazy things.
The odds of that are just insane.
Dude. And sometimes it's a backfire. I tell you, at the Comedy Store, there was these two guys sitting in the front row, and I go, "You guys have the same shoes on?" They go, "Yeah." I go, "Why?" They go, "We're twins." I go, "Yeah, but you're not 8. And then I started picking on them. It turned out their mom just died. And that happened. Yeah. And I was just like, all right, well, what can you do? So talk about a lot of cool things on that tour. And I'll throw a couple stories in there as well to go with the crowd work. But please go out there and get some tickets if you you're in the neighborhood. I would love to see you. And that's it for me. Ryan?
Ryan Sickler. I'm pushing my Instagram. Go follow me on Instagram and all social media, RyanSickler.com. I just want to say thank you to every single one of you who has hit us up, whether it's been on email or Facebook or, God, Twitter. Or I mean, just flooded with a lot of love.
Tons.
Little anger, but a lot of love.
Now, I will say, I mean, I've read a lot of those emails.
Have you?
Yeah, and then I just mark them on red because I don't know what you've seen. But so many people, like, the title would be like, fuck, no. Yeah. And then the first thing I want to say is thank you. You guys are so sweet and appreciative, and thank you so much for sharing and opening up. Some of those people are really opening up, yeah.
Deep. You guys are really amazing and wonderful. And again, like, yeah, the Crab Feast is ending, but maybe some of you misunderstood. We're not going anywhere. We're going to do our own shows, so please follow us in whatever we do. You're just getting more of us. That's all. And we're excited for it. So make sure you follow the Home Run King on all your social media over there.
Mm-hmm.
And Baltimore, coming back Saturday, November 17th. The Jimmy's Famous. You might be watching them on Twitter have a war with Peter right now. Yeah, those are the guys we're working with. Bringing Josh Adam Myers with me. We're just doing a one-nighter in Baltimore on Saturday, November 17th. Tickets are up on my website right now, ryansickle.com and thecrabfeast.com. Put them on your master, George. Bring a friend. Help us pack this place out. You know we're on iTunes, Spotify, Laughable, all of it. Does it matter now? Yeah, it always matters. That's what you're asking. So subscribe and follow Crab Feast on Facebook and Twitter. Would you like to say anything else? Did you have anything you wanted to add or say? Or
just want to say that we're no longer going to have shirts available through the website. What we're going
to
do is...
Well, real quick, I don't mean to cut you off, but there are all JUCOs left and Touching Pitches hats.
Touching Pitches.
Everything else is sold out. So get your all JUCO tees and your Touching Pitches hats now, because when they gone, they gone.
And then what we're going to do is we're going to release the FTCF shirts and the Tuesday shirts over at Bonfire, where we just did the Master Charge and the Kentucky Derby. And because we had a lot of people try to go buy a Kentucky Derby, even after the campaign was done, we re-released it. So those are now available again. So there was a bunch of people that wanted to get that shirt. So those are now available again.
Can I ask, is that the same link?
Same thing.
Go back to Kentucky Derby, same link.
Yeah, if you just go over through the link that we have up at the website, or for either Master Charge or Kentucky Derby, the other shirt is right there. So once you go there, because it's like the Crab Feast at Bonfire, then the FTCF shirts, we're going to get those up. We'll let you know when those are up, and the Tuesday shirts as well.
And that's why you should follow the Crab Feast on social media, because on our Facebook fan page, the pinned whatever post
tweet
is the Master Charge. So you can just click right directly on that link. And as always, we have some great sponsors. ZipRecruiter is back with us, guys. It's a smart decision to use ZipRecruiter, but you know what's not smart? Job sites that overwhelm you with tons of the wrong resumes. But you know what is smart? ZipRecruiter.com/crab. That's ZipRecruiter.com/crab. Unlike other job sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't wait for candidates to find you. ZipRecruiter finds them for you. Its powerful matching technology scans thousands of resumes, identifies people with the right skills, education, and experience for your job, and actively invites them to apply. So you get qualified candidates fast. No more sorting through the wrong resumes. No more waiting for the right candidates to apply. It's no wonder that ZipRecruiter is rated number one by employers in the U.S. This rating comes from hiring sites on Trustpilot with over 1,000 reviews. And right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, for free. I said for free at this exclusive web address. That's ZipRecruiter.com/crab, C-R-A-B. Again, ZipRecruiter.com/crab, C-R-A-B. One more time, y'all. ZipRecruiter.com/crab. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
No slashes with this guest, and definitely don't slash his tires, because... he might be living in whatever it is the tires are sitting on. We're excited to have him. We've been trying for a long time to make our schedules work. We're glad to have him. We think you're going to love him. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome for the first time, Mr. Dave Stone!
Dave Stone!
Welcome to the Crab Feast.
Welcome to the Crab Feast.
Hey, guys.
Don't be it. Enjoy this. Take this in. This is yours.
Take it in, bro.
This is yours.
Take it in.
This is yours.
A little more. Okay, that's good.
That's enough. Yeah.
It is great to finally have you on.
Yeah, thanks.
We've
for
talked
me.
About you for a while, and some fans have even hit us up saying, yeah, absolutely. They know who you are out there.
I always feel weird.
Know everybody.
They're
mainly your family members.
They're comedy fans, man. Our fans
feel
are
weird
comedy fans.
When fans will like tweet, like, hey, Crab Feast, y'all should have this. I'm like, hey, I didn't ask him to say
that.
It's
okay. Yeah.
Like, who's this dick?
We get there eventually, believe me.
It was Martha Stone, and then I looked under her thing. It was like Dave Stone's mom. Like, oh, all right.
We have a board up there where we keep a list of people that we reach out to try to get on. So glad to finally make this happen.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I know you've got a list of stories you came with today, which we're very excited about. But before we get to those, please plug, promote anything you'd like, social media, your podcast, whatever, all
of
it.
Sure. I do a podcast with Kyle Kinane. Every Tuesday we have The Boogie Monster. It's just me and him. We try to talk about like conspiracy theories and Bigfoot and aliens, and usually we just wind up talking about fried chicken for an hour and a half. But doing that right now. Then at Dave Stone Comedy on Twitter. So you know, I'm
any
around.
Road dates? Is that all on your website?
Yeah. DumbDaveStone.com is kind of my road date. We got a bunch of stuff coming up in September and October. So yeah.
Well, let me tell you something. When I first met you, you were like you pointed out to me just off mic. We were playing tennis that day. Mm-hmm. And you were living in a van. But the thing that I was most impressed with, hands down, no question, I'll put this up against any I've ever had, the best mashed potatoes I've ever had in my life, Dave Stone made.
Out of that van?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, man, that would be beyond impressive.
So you got to get the radiator really hot, and then...
But, dude, I remember that day. We was at Rory's house. We were having he had some people for dinner, and you made the mashed potatoes.
Yeah.
And I was homemade? Like, "What the fuck is in here, dude?"
He's just seemed lucky to
see. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, dude, he would do nothing.
Well,
nothing
that's funny
but.
Because that's as a cook, that's the number one food that I get annoyed at when people try to take the shortcuts and do the instant shit because it's so easy. Homemade mashed potatoes.
Easy.
An idiot can make them. It's the easiest thing in the world.
And so you're a cook? You're a chef?
Yeah, I mean, I've worked in restaurants.
Yeah, you've got a shitload of jobs.
For a long time, and then just kind of a hobbyist. Barbecue is my specialty. I got a couple of nice smokers. I love smoking barbecue. Yeah.
What's your specialty? I mean, are you ribs or?
Pulled pork. Pulled pork is my jam.
How'd you get, did you just walk in and get a job as a chef? I mean, did you go to culinary school?
No, I didn't go to culinary school. I almost did when I was much younger. It's something I wanted to do, and just at the time, it just didn't have the money, and you know, there wasn't any scholarships or anything available, so I put that on the
board. Yo, man, listen, I got to say, over here at the Institute of Higher Cooking, we noticed.
Over here at PPU, Pulled Pork University.
Your mashed potatoes are unbelievable. We want to give you a full ride.
I was getting
mashed potatoes alone, man.
Yeah, I got letters in high school, people hearing about how, you know, started simple, like with a bowl of cereal, and, you know, I put together a reel, sent it out to some culinary
school. A reel.
Yeah.
This would be sauteing right here.
Okay, so there's so much I want to talk to you about.
Sure.
Jay glossed over it because we're used to hearing it, but you said while you were living in a van, and I also want to talk about cooking. So I want to talk about the van first because... lived in a van. A lot of people sleep overnight in their van and maybe go to a hotel, but you lived in this van. This was your home.
Yeah. I mean, it defined you for a long time.
Yeah, which I had to be careful with that. I didn't want it to be a gimmick, like, oh, it's the van guy.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I was like, well, I got to do material about this. But like, I didn't. And I've even had like a couple of dipshits accuse me of like it being gimmicky. And it's like, all right, you shit in a bucket for 2.5 years and tell me it's a fucking gimmick.
You shit in a bucket for
not the first guest in the crowd who's shit in a bucket. Nick Thune did.
Nick Thune did.
But no, it wasn't a gimmick.
It was a one and done.
I started comedy in Atlanta, and for about 2 years before I was able to move out here, I was trying to move out here and just couldn't, you know, L.A.'s expensive. I couldn't get enough money. I couldn't find roommate situations and whatever, and it just – you know, my little goal dates just kept getting pushed back. And then finally one day I was renting a house from another comic in Atlanta, renting a room in a house. And it was a normal size bedroom.
Noah?
No, not Noah, but just down the street, a guy named Barry Wright. Normal size bedroom.
You ain't going to believe
this. Couldn't be more wrong than this. Barry Wright! Get your ass in there, Barry. Let me get a sing.
But I had a normal size bedroom, but I noticed, like, for whatever reason, like, the whole... all my stuff was in this one little corner. Like, I had a mattress on the floor, and right next to that I had a little bitty chair. Right in front of that, a real small coffee table that I put my laptop in. So one day I'm just sitting there, and I'm high, and I'm like, man, I spend all my time in this, like, 30-square-foot area of this room. All of this would fit in a Ford cargo van.
Mm-hmm.
And then the light bulb went off, and bought a van, totally
the light bulb went off.
Off is 100% right.
It went off.
The light bulb
went
off.
It's always on, so it has to turn off for me. But yeah, bought a van. So you bought a van, a used van? Yeah, I bought an 06
Econoline. What'd you get?
Not a Toyota. The second one was a Toyota. Ford Econoline.
Ford Econoline.
Yeah.
My buddy had one of those. He didn't live out of it, but he practically lived out of it. It was just everything was in there.
Yeah.
My first car was a Ford Econoline 750.
When did they do the Econoline?
Wow. They did the Econoline from 70. Mine was a 79.
Damn.
And it had like this extended, it was a paint truck.
Okay.
Yeah.
Get like 8
holiday,
miles a gallon.
Holiday paints.
This was when I was working for College Pro. I had that College Pro Painters and I made that my van.
Nice. With that like foot extended on the back where you could see the line.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally.
So you go, you buy this van full, and you're still in Atlanta?
Mm-hmm. Still in Atlanta. And it's just an old like work van, like a plumber's van, just white. And
how much did you pay for it?
I paid like $6,000 for it.
What year?
And it was 06.
How many miles?
I had like 80,000 when
That's
I bought
not terrible.
It.
Yeah. And what year did you buy
this
it?
This was 2012. So it was kind of banged up.
That's about right.
But yeah, spent about a month kind of working on it, you know, gutted it. Built a bed frame, built some shelves, moved everything into carpet from wall to wall carpet.
What kind of carpet?
Berber. Got the Berber.
Did you?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Fucking
got the, I mean, it was like knockoff.
Sprung for the Berber,
yeah.
Bro.
Because it was durable. It was thick and durable.
Yeah, you need that. And, hot as fuck in the summer.
Yeah.
It was so hot.
But even the ceiling, everything, to kind of soundproof and kind of insulation and everything. And
but those did it have windows or was this straight panel? Like
It was a panel van.
All the way.
Obviously had the driver.
How creepy
side
were
windows.
You coming to buy that thing? No, I don't want windows.
No, I don't need windows.
I need something that'll keep people quiet.
So you trick it out. You put shelves. You put a bed. What kind of bed? What size? Full size mattress?
No, it was a double or what are they, twin? The smallest one.
The smallest.
And here's the thing: I wanted to sleep width wise, like wheel well to wheel well. But the shortest mattress, regardless if it's a twin, queen, whatever, in terms of length, the shortest mattress you can buy that's not like a kid's mattress is 75 inches. Well, the problem I had was the width of the van from wheel-well to wheel-well, wall-to-wall, once I got it all the carpet.
Wall-to-wall.
All the panels in there was 70 inches. So I literally sawed 5 inches off the mattress, duct taped it, or put a hefty bag over the wound, duct taped it up, boom. 70-inch mattress.
Did you have a fitted sheet and everything on it?
Yeah.
Did you do it nice?
Yeah,
it was
that sheet,
pretty nice.
Though, you know?
But the problem, too, is 70 inches, and I'm 5'9", so I'm about, 69
Brooke
inches.
Brooke sheets on this thing. Man.
So, like, literally, if I stretched out my toes, my head would be on one wall and my toes would be on the other. So, like, to really get comfortable, I had to sleep at an angle, you know? So, it was tight quarters. But
that's how you really got comfortable, huh?
Yeah.
Sleeping on an angle.
All right, so
angle.
I just have so many questions.
Math.
So, first of all, did you ever get laid in it?
I did.
That's a special woman.
Yeah, yeah.
That's kind of a special woman.
Kind of a novelty for her.
I bet.
I didn't want to.
Bucket list.
I was going to say, whose bucket list is that on to get fucked in a van?
You never know. I mean, that kind of van.
Yeah. So I didn't want to, but I was just like, all right, well.
I mean, if she's into it, what the hell?
She talked you into it?
Yeah.
Come on, let's just do it.
I was like, well, because my way of thinking was like any woman who's going to be down for this. Probably not good enough for me.
Yeah.
You're good enough to live in it.
Beat it, skank.
Yeah, get out of my house.
Get off my lawn. His lawn, whatever.
So how do you walk us through the toilet situation?
Oh, man, the toilet situation basically is just I had a gym, got a gym membership when I moved out here. Mm-hmm. So I trained my body to just take care of all that once a day. Go to the gym every morning.
That's what he's training at the gym.
Yeah. Most time I wouldn't even work out.
His bladder.
Yeah. Most time I wouldn't even work out.
It's bowel day today, man.
I'd go in, take a shower, take a dump, do all that. And most times, like you know how you check in.
Now you got me thinking how many people I look at in the gym are homeless.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
And I would get so many weird looks from the girl at the counter because I go in and swipe my card or whatever. Then I go to the locker room, handle my business for 10, 15 minutes, and then leave. And she'd see me walking out like, he just got
Must
here.
Just
yeah, I'm not here for cardio. I'm here to take a dump.
Yeah.
I did the same thing. You know, I lived in a condemned house for 14
there
months.
Really?
And so I would do the same thing.
Nice.
Because I didn't have the gym.
Yeah, at the gym. Gold's Gym. Dude.
Okay.
The Mecca.
The one down there.
But I would I had a toilet lease at the house. Uh-huh. I just didn't have hot water for showers.
Yeah.
So I would take cold showers from the hose.
Yeah.
Or I'd go to a friend's house or the gym. And the nights on the gym, I would go before I worked.
Uh-huh.
So I'd roll in, check in, go upstairs, shower, come down in all my blacks to go wait tables. I'd be like, all right, see you guys.
Yeah.
And they must have just been like, who the fuck is this dude?
So, yeah, I trained my body for that as far as the bathroom schedule. And then, of course, you know, sometimes, you know, I wanted to say shit happens. That's too on the nose. But, you know, you also learn the hot spots. I was going to write a book called
Learn the Hot Spots.
Where to, you should have an app. Yeah.
Where to shit in L.A.
Make an app.
A coffee table book. But
what were some of them?
Oh, well, the best is like Vaughn's and Ralph's. You know, those are great because they're in the back of the store. So
yeah,
like,
sometimes you got to go upstairs or downstairs. Yeah.
Vaughn's
I know.
has a code, a key code. Yeah. I would learn that, you know. But
they didn't
but
change it every day?
In about every month they would change it.
Walking in and seeing the supervisor. Yeah. Hey, Sean, how are you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. At Albertsons, you know, it's in the back, you know. Every day I'd go in, take a dump, and like the produce guys are like, what's this guy doing? You know, it's like Norm at Cheers, you know, how's it going? But also I would have, didn't have to use it much, but I did prepare myself with an emergency shit kit. Now that's crucial if you're living in a van.
That's number one.
I think it's crucial, period. I have a shit kit in my car.
Emergency shit kit, the way I did it, I had an old milk crate, you know, those plastic milk crates. So you take that. You put a 13-gallon trash bag liner in there.
Nice thick black one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then you you have a half a roll of toilet paper in this pocket. Why half? Because a hole won't fit a big, robust, new roll.
Good
so you
to
got,
know.
You got a little half roll
and
here.
And trim it down like a mattress.
Yeah. And then a bottle of Purell in the other one. And then, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, if I, you know, you get woken up with the bubble guts or whatever, just grab the shit kit. And I wouldn't shit in the van.
Yeah,
it's my home.
That's
where I live.
You don't shit where you eat.
So I just grab the shit kit and walk down to an alley behind a closed business or whatever. Take care of the business.
Nuh-uh.
But oh yeah. But then you're
someone's
the,
like
you never
night.
Got in. No one ever attacked you or tried to fuck with you while you were
homeless,
shitting.
A couple homeless guys walked up on me, but I was just like, hey, you know, fuck you. We're in the same boat. And but then the
same
problem
van,
is
the same
you're
man,
like, walking back. If you're walking back with a bag of shit.
Yeah.
No dog. You know, so
a human bag.
Yeah, you got to find a dumpster or something. But yeah, you know, you do what you got to do.
I guess so. God damn. Yeah. Did you see? I always wonder. Like, I drive by. What's that golf course you go to down
Penmar?
Is that Penmar right there, just south of you?
Yeah,
and it's. I think you could take like whatever that road is, all the way to Lincoln
Rose.
Rose, yeah. And I see that's like RV Row over there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? I always see those. I had one when I lived in the valley. There was one near me by the LA River and shit. I always wonder, like, if these people get attacked at night. I mean, first of all, they probably don't have a lot of valuables, I'm guessing. But a crackhead also doesn't think like that either. Well, I mean,
that van's valuable.
I got broken into twice.
That's what I wanted to know. Yeah. But were you in it?
Both times I was in it.
Did you, like, in the middle of the night waking you up?
Yeah.
What the fuck? What happened?
First time, I'd only been here like 3 weeks.
Okay, so you drove, how long were you in the van in Atlanta?
I wasn't in Atlanta.
You just bought it in
there. I bought
it
like the last 2 months I was in Atlanta. And then when I moved out of that house, I took the van and drove to LA.
All right, so where was your first home here?
Well, wait, hold on.
Where was your real estate?
How long was that drive?
I've since made that drive 20 times.
Damn.
It's 2,300 miles.
20.
And I can do it in about 2.5 days.
Damn.
Days, if I'm doing like 13, 14-hour days.
Yeah, I've done it 3 times, and it took me 5 days, but with one ball buster day.
Yeah.
I did it once in 3 days.
Okay.
That's good.
Solo mission.
That is really
good. In a Jetta.
That's really good.
Yeah.
Smoked a lot of cigarettes and drank a ton of coffee.
I did
the whole
I did
side thing.
Coke
just...
and cigarettes, and I'm not even cigarettes.
You doing blow?
Not cocaine, Coca-Cola.
Woo!
I told you, I've never
sickle cell, baby.
Hardly
doing
ever done cocaine
powder,
in my
son.
Life. A half a bump of a Parliament. All the cocaine that's ever been in my body. Okay, so where did you park first when you lived here? Like, and why?
Well, that's a good question. There's an art to picking out a good space.
I believe
imagine.
That. Yeah.
There really is, because here's the thing. You want to be in a safe neighborhood, but a safe neighborhood usually means it's a nice neighborhood. And in a nice neighborhood, eventually people are going to notice the weirdo in the white cargo van that hasn't moved in 5 days.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't be too nice of a neighborhood, because then homeowners and residents are going to be snooping around and kind of see what's up with you. And then a real shitty neighborhood, no one's going to care what you're doing, but then you got to worry about crackheads and whomever trying to break in. So you got to find that common ground.
And I imagine you also want to be in a neighborhood that's close to, like you say, your grocery store, your toilet.
Walking distance to a toilet is
very
important.
So you don't have to move the van, because you lose your spot for some other degenerate that's going to pull in. Got
and you want to try.
Or just someone looking for a parking spot.
You want to try not to park.
Not over in that area.
You want to try not to park right in front of someone's house or apartment. So ideal situation is a decent neighborhood, but then you want to park kind of near like a commercial property, like a warehouse.
Well, that's why that Penmar is amazing, because the golf course is there. It's a great neighborhood across the street, and Rose is like a busy street, but it's only one lane, you know. So,
but a van like this in front of a business or an industrial place could almost look like security overnight.
It could look like security. It could look like, oh, this is the business. The business owns that van, and this is where they park it. You know, it's a, you know, they're hauling.
See that guy showering
parts
out of that bag? He's the lead security guy.
Oh, my God, security!
He's taking a shit in Albertsons right now. Security!
So my favorite spot, if anybody in L.A. knows this area, Los Feliz. That's it's a decent neighborhood, but there's not like, you know, it's not Beverly Hills. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of, you know.
Oh, they want it to be.
$3 million homes, you know, with nosy neighbors or whatever. So Los Feliz, and I would park on Clayton at Hillhurst. If anybody knows Hillhurst, that main drag.
I know Hillhurst.
Yeah, is that
Clayton?
Near?
Clayton is one block north.
Drawing
of,
room or any of that?
It's kind of close to Drawing Room. One block north of like Hillhurst and Hollywood.
What's where the
Hollywood
great wing
sunset?
Spot right there across the, from Drawing Room? Say it.
You
the
rustic.
Rustic Inn. So it's right in that area.
A couple blocks south of there because on this particular stretch of Clayton, right off of Hillhurst, to my left was the fire department. And so, you know, they had a big, like, brick wall, and so they couldn't really see what was going on. And to my right was a big, empty, vacant parking lot where the employees at that children's hospital right there on Sunset, it's their parking lot. So it's a safe neighborhood, and, you know, no apartments really on that road. So no one's looking out their window wondering what the hell I'm doing. And I was a two-minute walk to Vaughn's right there. Up and down Hillhurst, any bars or whatever I wanted to go hang out. So that was my spot. So that's there's an art to that. And also, too, what I would do is like doing actual spots, comedy spots, wherever I was at that night, I would go to that neighborhood and park in the afternoon, hang out, go do my spot. And then I knew I could just stay there after the show because, as you guys probably know, in L.A., good luck trying to find a parking spot after 11 p.m.
Yeah.
Everybody's home. All the spots are taken. So, you know, so that forced me to kind of go to other neighborhoods. So wherever my comedy spot was that night, usually I would stay in that neighborhood. But if I didn't, if I had my choice, I would stay there and right at the Silver Lake Reservoir. Right there.
Oh,
on
I
Silver
had a
Lake
friend
Boulevard.
To live right there. I love that spot.
They have since changed.
That's up the hill from your buddy's restaurant, the Oyster Spot.
Oh, you really? Oh, yeah. Yeah. L&E?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good stuff. Mm-hmm. But they have since added those no parking 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. Up and down Silver Lake Boulevard near the reservoir for that exact reason, to keep van dwellers and hobos from spinning the
van dwellers.
Yeah. So where where was the first attack? Where were
attack?
You?
Attack? Yeah. It's an attack
said, was
now?
It not attacked?
Well, I almost attacked him. I was in Burbank.
Attacked the van.
I was in Burbank, of all places. Burbank seems such a benign, wholesome little area. Doing a spot. And, you know, so found a little spot there in Burbank. Did my show. Came back. You know, hung out there all night.
Burbank's a little weird, too. So you got the train track area there.
Yeah, that area,
you know, you
the
got
side,
yeah,
too.
You got the other side, literally the
Magnolia,
other side of the tracks.
It's a nice
little
area.
Yeah.
All the way into the foothills.
This was like, this was on like Olive, like kind of on the border between Burbank and like North Hollywood, you know, not Temecula, but Toluca Lake over in that area. So anyway, 4 o'clock in the morning, I'm sleeping. And the way my bed was, like I said, I had it wheel well to wheel well. So
at the very back?
Yeah, in the very back. Yeah, the back wheel wells. So what that means is about a foot or 2 foot to my right, if I'm laying, well, depending, I like to sleep on the passenger side. That way if somebody crashes into me, that way if they crash into me, they won't crush my skull. But anyway, so the back, the double doors in the back are literally about 18 inches from me. And I had.
And they're glass,
they're
right?
Glass.
You do have windows there.
Yeah, I had windows there, but I had them super tinted.
Okay.
It was almost like one-way glass where I could see out, but they couldn't see in. So it's 4 o'clock in the morning, and I'm sleeping. And then I just, right there at the double doors, I hear some rustling around. I look, and it's a dude with a screwdriver trying to fucking.
One guy.
And first thought was, oh shit, I'm getting towed. I was like, I must have parked in a wrong spot.
Yeah.
Someone's fucking around the back. I'm getting towed. What's going on? I see, and it looks like a little gangbanger. A little short dude, tats, young-looking guy. And I was so broke at the time. The first thing, all I could think of is I got to stop him before he breaks that lock.
Yeah,
because
totally.
That's $180 bucks I don't have. So I kept a machete A couple other bladed weapons.
You do. I would have just got up and started the van. I think that would have scared the shit out of him.
No, not me. I had to figure this out. And so I grabbed my machete.
And hit the gas. Yeah, you could have done that, too.
I grabbed my machete. I tiptoe up to the front, to the cab.
Tiptoe, huh?
Yeah, just real quiet, you know.
It's, that Berber really came in handy.
Yeah. And I exit the driver's side door.
I keep my shoes off.
You exit? You don't even let him know?
No, I exit the door.
And so you're walking slow enough. The van's, he's shaking it anyway.
He's shaking
so it. Doesn't matter.
He's focused.
He's looking to fuck someone
yeah,
up.
Yeah. I was like, well, all right. I can
Here's
this
my
guy.
Excuse.
Yeah. Nothing but my underwear. I exit the van.
Tidy whitey?
No, just my boxer briefs. And I grab the machete, and I'm walking. I tiptoe along the driver's side, and I get... Like, I don't know, I get about 3 feet from him, and he's focused, and he doesn't see me, but I see him because I'm kind of, like, peeking around, and I didn't know what to do, so he's doing his thing, and I'm holding a machete, and I'm looking at him. He doesn't see me.
Now, imagine being this guy, look yeah. over and see some basically naked dude with
yeah.
a machete.
Yeah. Naked dude, half a boner, big old gut, my hair's going nuts, holding a machete, and I just went, hey! And I swear to God, that dude shit his pants. He did that, like, quadruple take, like that. Like he stuck his finger in a light socket. Like he dropped the screwdriver, looks at me, runs about 20 yards down the street. His buddy is idling in an F-150 pickup truck. He hops in the passenger seat. They speed off.
They come back by you?
No. They went the other way. So
damn.
But yeah, so and I was just
so now you got a machete and a screwdriver.
Yeah.
Exactly. Two weapons.
There you go.
Yeah. And then long story short, the second time was about a year later. Guy was breaking in the driver's side door.
Where are you parked this time?
This time I'm in Hillhurst on what's not Franklin? Prospect. Prospect runs east-west through Los Feliz. It's on the east side of Hillhurst. Mm-hmm. Just nice little residential neighborhood.
By the Shakespeare Bridge.
Yes, close to the Shakespeare Bridge.
I know what's up.
Guy's breaking in the driver's side door. This time, I'm pissed. I don't even
he's
get out.
He's going driver's door.
Going driver's door. This time.
So he's trying to. So I feel like the guy in the back's trying to steal contents. Driver's door is probably trying to steal the van.
Possibly. Because it does look like a plumber's van or, you know, mechanic's van or something. I'm sure they thought, like, oh, there's probably a bunch
of tools.
Could
have been crackheads, aluminum tools, whatever.
Copper
sell
pipes,
it. Yep,
tools.
Exactly.
This guy's breaking the driver's side door. I'd had a long day. I just started to go to sleep, so it didn't really startle me out of a dead sleep. I just climb up to the front, and I open and kick the door open at the same time. Like, with my hand, I grabbed the handle and then just kicked it real hard, and it just, boom, it just hit him, and he panics and runs off.
He
I
just
didn't even
get out.
Then I just shut the door. I was like, tell your fucking friends to leave this van alone. So
would you?
It's like, God damn it. You know, and it's just like, man, I'm living in a fucking
the
van.
Shit out of
because I don't have any fucking money. I'm trying to pursue my dreams. Will y'all please leave me the fuck alone? Like, it just, ugh.
Would you block out the windshield and the driver's side doors and stuff?
Yeah. Yeah. The windshield was, I had the visor, the sun visor thing, the big silver looking thing. And then I have a curtain, a black curtain that separated the cab from the back.
Gotcha.
So if you're looking in, all you see is an empty cab and then a black curtain.
You don't know somebody lives in it.
What are you doing at night? I mean, you don't have electricity, so you're not watching TV. You're reading books. How do you charge your phone? Like, what are you doing?
I would charge my phone. It was weird. With that van, it's the only vehicle I've ever had where I could use the phone charger without the car being on.
Gotcha.
I had my
never understood how that worked.
Me either. I had a Jeep Cherokee, a 2002, and the car would be off, keys mm-hmm. out, but I could still use the cigarette lighter mm-hmm. charger to.
Exactly.
And I was like, how the fuck? It must just be pulling straight off the battery, and
I guess
it's not enough of a charge to.
Now, a lot of people who live in vans or whatever, they'll get what's called a deep cycle battery, and it looks just like your regular car battery, but it's a secondary battery that you would put like kind of behind the driver's seat and run all your small electronics off of it. I never got around to it because it was like $400. So what I mainly what I had was a battery powered portable DVD player. That was my form of entertainment.
Okay.
Just a little 12-inch little, you know, looked like a small laptop.
Yeah.
You know, close, open and close like a laptop. So just watch a bunch of DVDs, and then I had a battery powered radio. Just, you know, just old school, just a little listening to AM radio, coast to coast, whatever at night.
Amazing.
And that's it.
Sorry to interrupt you guys, but we got to keep the lights on. These days, you can get practically everything on demand, like our podcast. Listen wherever you want, when it's convenient for you. Did you know you can even get postage on demand? All you need is stamps.com. Buy and print real U.S. postage for any letter or any package. All available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Just click print, mail, and you're done. Stamps.com will even send you a digital scale. You can weigh your letters and packages and print the exact amount of postage every time. Back when Ryan and I were doing shirts way back in the day, we had Stamps.com, and it was literally how we got the podcast started. We were able to weigh everything, package them, and not have to go anywhere but Rye's apartment. That was old school.
That was, that's right.
And it was great for us. If you're looking to get something started, or you're just looking for some ease, an easier way to do things, go to stamps.com right now. If you head over there and use CRAB for this special offer, a four-week trial, which includes postage and a digital scale. Do not wait. Go to stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the radio microphone at the top of the homepage and type in CRAB. That's stamps.com. Enter code CRAB. Let's get back to the show.
You said the first van. What did what happened to this van, or why did you have to get a second van?
That van, okay, I lived in that for 2.5 years. Finally got a place of my own. Got a little bit of showbiz money from a documentary I did. So I got moved into a place, lived there for about 2 years, and then I was going out on the road for like 3 months. So I said, well, all right, I'm going to – and it was right when my lease was expiring. So, all right, I'm going to just let this lease expire, and I'll find a place when I get back in 3 months. So it still had the van the whole time I lived in that apartment for almost 2 years, and that was weird. It's weird to have a van and like –
To your two houses, man.
Yeah, to drive a van when you know, I don't know, just to have a big-ass cargo van and not live in it.
Right.
Was that what you drive?
That was my primary vehicle. Yeah, because I just never got around to getting another vehicle. So I move out, go on tour. So I'm technically, you know, don't have a home for the 3 months I'm on tour. And right in the middle of the tour, I was in Athens, Georgia, did a show. After the show, driving back to the hotel.
So you're driving the van on tour.
Driving
it's not
van.
Parked and you're out flying.
Well, I mean, you know it is sometimes if I'm just doing a couple dates and I can fly to, you know, and do a club date and fly back. But like the way I kind of do it is I schedule like at least 3 or 4 weeks at a time so I can take the van out and not have to worry about hotels and flights and stuff like that, just because at my level, I'm not pulling in a ton of dough each show, especially 5 years ago.
But you are keeping cash or checks in that van overnight, and people could easily rob you for that fucking money.
Yeah. So anyway, long story short, on tour, that van got hit head-on by a drunk driver.
What?
Just smashed it. 12 o'clock at night, Athens,
Georgia. You're driving or it's parked?
I'm driving.
He's driving.
I just left the show. Just left my show. It's a fun show.
Riding high, thinking, what could go wrong, I'm not even sleeping in this today.
Yeah. Had another comic with me. I took another comic out on this tour with me. So we're driving back about midnight.
Take your shoes off back there, player. That's forever, man.
Driving on a 5-lane road. 2 lanes this way, 2 lanes the other way with a center turn lane, but not even a median. Just, you know, so 5 lanes. I'm in the far right lane. I crest a hill. Boom. Red Mustang
straight up over
the hill? Hits me head on.
Whoa.
He's like 3 lanes over from where he should be.
How fast were you going?
60, 65 miles an hour.
No brakes.
No brake. No skid marks. No skid marks. Just boom.
Tell him what you told me off mic.
What
of like
the
when
fuck?
When you saw the guy, what you said.
Well, I have such road rage. I'm just such a stickler.
Well, even
for
if you
driver.
Didn't, that would fucking.
Like, so as soon as I saw the headlights, my first reaction, what the fuck's this idiot doing? And before I could even finish that sentence, bam. Because I didn't really
he
realize.
Said it was like, what the?
Yeah. I didn't realize how close the headlights were. I thought it might have been 30 yards away, and I had time to maneuver. Like,
and was your
fucking idiot.
The friend you took, was he buckled in? Were you guys buckled in?
We were both buckled in, thank God, because it was violent. Like, it was a pretty.
Yeah, no airbags in that fucking
no
car.
No airbags, just bam. And the cops showed up, and they were like,
and
oh,
you,
shit.
Yep. Were you unconscious? What happened?
No, we both were fine. Like, we were banged up. He had, like, a bruise from the seatbelt.
How about the Mustang?
Can you believe that?
Mustang guy, 19-year-old kid, drunk as fuck. Drunk
was he
as
okay?
He was staggering around. I think he had a busted nose or something. But yeah, he was up and conscious.
Jesus Christ. Yeah.
Silver lining for Dave Stone. What he had told me, one of the cops' brothers was looking for a place, ended up renting out the subletting that van for like 6 months.
Give me that left wheel well back
so,
there.
So not only like was that a terrible experience, but then it like 2 minutes later it hit me. I was like, oh, I don't have a home.
Right,
now.
Your home
I'm
and
legitimately
car.
Homeless
you are
right
now homeless.
Yeah, because I didn't. You know, it didn't bother me on the tours. Like
in the middle of the night on a highway in Athens, Georgia.
Yeah, yeah.
In the middle of the night.
So that's a song, right? That's a country song.
Yep.
Georgia. So what do you do from there? Like, how do you?
Well, you know,
do you go to the hospital?
No, didn't need to go to the hospital. You know,
believe
that? I was bruised. I was banged up. But I was
you
like,
didn't have insurance,
it.
So you figured I'm not going to go.
No, I didn't.
Did that kid have insurance?
He had car insurance, thank God, because eventually...
Because you didn't?
Because you get your body covered with someone else's car insurance.
I got punitive damages. 18 months later, I got a small check.
Judge Wapner,
can I ask you how much?
Yeah, $8,000.
That's it?
Yeah.
It was for the van and any...
Well, no, $3,000 for the van and then $8,000 for like punitive damages. So, yeah. So, anyway... my insurance company rented me a car. We still had like 2 weeks
left. Yeah, I was
going to
say, you're in the middle of the tour.
Didn't miss a date. Didn't, you know, just kept on trucking. But
what'd you do with all your shit?
It was in the van, and they took it to a tow yard. Yeah, that sounds right. And after the tour, I had to go back to the tow yard and get all my possessions.
Was it all there?
Cram them in. Yeah, I think everything was there. Well, we'll see. I was... Yeah, that's
nobody
right.
Nobody wanted to steal your mattress.
Yeah. I had a storage unit when I moved out of the apartment right before I left for that tour. I put a lot of my shit in the storage unit, but I still had a good deal of stuff in that. But long story short, the car I rented the next day to finish a tour was a Toyota Sienna minivan. And I loved it so much that when I got the money for the insurance for the actual van, went and bought a Toyota Sienna minivan.
A new one or used?
Used. This was also an 06.
Come on, 06. They went to
06. And lived in that for a year.
Let me. So. What's the? So you have a van tattoo on your arm? Is that?
Yeah,
I can't
that's
see
the original one.
That's
yeah.
the Econoline right there. Yeah.
I love the shape of those.
I mean, it looks good. You got a van on your forearm.
Yeah, man. Why not? Keeps you know. So
you
nice
said
reminder.
It keeps you grounded.
Keeps me grounded.
Man, a drunk drive. God.
Yeah, man.
So then, how long did you have this new van?
New van. I still have it. I drove it here, but I lived in that for about a year. Yeah, moved out about a year ago. So lived in it right after the wreck. I lived in it for like 2 or 3 months, moved in with Ryan Singer. You guys know Ryan Singer? Mm-hmm. Moved in with him for a year, and then another situation. I love Ryan, but I didn't like that place. And I was
you
going,
more comfortable?
fuck
you elitist homeless guy.
I don't know.
Go to the back of the back.
Nah,
of
I just don't like the toilet.
He didn't even have a shit kit. He's got a fucking toilet. Yeah. What am I supposed to do with that? But lived there for about a year and then went out on another tour, did the same thing, didn't renew my lease, and then stayed in the minivan for a year. And about a year ago, I moved out of that into an apartment with my girlfriend.
Now, how did you get the mattress into the minivan?
No mattress in the minivan.
Sleeping bag?
A lot smaller. Made like just a pallet, like a bunch of those egg crate things, mm-hmm. you know, those foamy egg crate. Had like 5 of those that I stacked up and then kind of like tied together and then shoved that into a big sleeping bag and used the sleeping bag to keep all that shit contained. So that was like my little pallet and then blankets and stuff.
Year of that.
Mm-hmm. And it sucked.
I'll bet you
because
that
it was so much smaller than the big Ford.
I can't understand
van.
Why you might have road rage.
Yeah. So
I
don't know. I don't know what the problem is. But
so you and I were talking because I know you've done a lot of driving, and you mentioned a truck stop in Memphis, mm-hmm. and I stayed at the same one a couple different times in West Memphis, but mm-hmm. I only slept overnight. You stayed a lot longer than that,
those,
and I'm wondering why.
Well, it was, like I said, this was 2012. I had just moved to L.A. and went out a few months later on like a two-month run, like cross-country, did like, I don't know, 30 dates and 40 days or something like that. And at the time, I was a feature. I was a feature act. So I'm making, you know, $300 a week out on the road. And didn't have much money. Had a gig somewhere near Memphis. Or Memphis was in between point A and point B. And finished my club week on a Sunday night. Didn't have enough. My next date was like a Friday the next week. Had very little money. I was like, well, I'm just going to spend 4 days at this fucking truck stop. And just 24/7. Didn't move the van there for 4 days.
What'd you do every day?
Just hung out in the van. I'd go hang out in the trucker's lounge. Remember watching.
The trucker's lounge?
Yeah, they had trucker's lounge. I remember specifically we watched me and 3 or 4 other smelly truckers. We watched the Johnny Cash movie, Walk the Line.
Yeah.
One night I did that. And the next night it was during the NBA playoffs. And I remember watching like LeBron, I forgot whoever. It was
shut up.
Cavs versus Oklahoma City back in 12, I think. And just like 3 or 4 racist truckers just dropping in bombs.
I was
going
to say, there's no way.
I'm like, well, if you then turn the fucking channel.
Turn it off.
If it makes you that mad at these blankety blank millionaires. But just hung out. And
why? Were you in town doing shows?
Yeah. I had another show coming up
and that was
in
a good
Nashville on Friday. But yeah, didn't have much money. Didn't have extra money for a hotel. So I was like, well, I'm just going to stay here and not spend any money for 4 days. You know, so just loitered for 4 days.
They have showers there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 10
Pay
bucks.
Pay showers?
Yeah, those two.
10 bucks? What was 10 bucks?
The shower's 10 bucks.
Okay.
Is it a clean thing?
They're actually pretty nice. I shower at truck stops all the time. It's they're usually about 10 bucks, and it's like a private restroom
right.
with a shower. So you pay 10 bucks, they give you a key, and usually a decent truck stop will have like 8 or 10 of these showers, and you go in. And it's just, you know, maybe half the size of this room, like a normal sized bathroom.
The toilet but sink,
toilet sink, and a shower,
and it's clean.
Yeah, yeah. They
that
do a
reminds
good job
me of when I went to Sweden. Kate and I had just started dating, and she was like she wanted to do this trip to Sweden, and so she's like, I have all these miles. I'm going to book you a ticket, and I got bumped up, so I got like bumped up to like business class or first class, and. It's like a crazy layover, like time. Like I had to wait for the plane because you're there so early.
Yeah.
And you go to the business lounge, and they had rooms that were like full, like little rooms you kick it in that had a shower and the sink and stuff like that. That's what it reminds me of. Uh-huh. Probably very similar.
Yeah.
You know?
Just a normal bathroom.
I was gonna say, I don't think that's.
But yeah, I've used those a lot so many times. Just.
You've lived life, brother.
Yeah, man.
But let me ask you, is there a part of you that's just like, because you've done so much that you just like, are you living life for the experiences or do you have like this carefree, like laissez-faire about like, let life happen to me and I'll just be along for the ride? Or because obviously it's a part of you. It's not like you're just falling into these circumstances. Mm-hmm. I feel like you kind of put yourself in these circumstances. Yeah?
Yeah. Well, a lot of it has to do, like in the last 12 years, has to do with comedy, you know, just making those sacrifices to... Whatever I got to do to put myself in a position to succeed.
Yeah.
What was your upbringing like? Like, was your family moving a lot? Were you, like, what was that like?
Not too much. We moved a couple of times my childhood, but
where?
Born in Nashville, Tennessee, but grew up north of Atlanta. Spent most of my childhood and teenage years in, like, North Georgia, about a little town called Waleska, Georgia, about an hour north of Atlanta. So that's where I went to high school and stuff. But yeah, moved twice during my childhood. Very normal. Normal childhood, you know, good folks. Dad just died about 2 months ago.
Oh, man, I'm sorry to hear that.
That's all right. Yeah, I don't want to get into all that, but, you know, I'm doing fine. He was a fucking great dude. Had an awesome dad and just, you know, that's a whole new experience.
I mean, how did your dad think about you living in the van?
Yeah, that's what I wanted to ask.
He loved it. Well,
I'm sure he did.
He was... Both my parents were worried about the van, but man, my dad loved like that. I just, oh man, kid's got balls. He's chasing his dream.
Yeah.
You know, nothing's going to stop Dave. I'm like, yeah, Dad, just whatever takes.
Just some homeless guy buffing the side.
You can send $50.
But yeah, my dad was incredibly supportive. So,
yeah, that's great.
And, but yeah, my mom made a good point. Like when I first moved out here in the van, she was just, you know, typical mom, just calling me every day. And it's like, Mom, I'm 35. You don't have to call me every day. She goes, listen. She goes, if you just moved across the continent to live in an apartment, I'd be worried about you.
Yep.
Or if you moved down the street to live in a van, I'd worry about you. But you moved across the country to live in a van, so I'm going to worry about you.
You got a good mom.
All right, that's a good point. So.
Are you close?
Yeah, yeah. We're close.
Geographically.
Geographically not, but more so now that my dad passed a couple months ago just because, you know, she's alone. And,
were they were still married?
Yeah, they were 43 years.
Wow.
My mom's disabled. She's in a wheelchair. 21 years old, she's riding on the back of a motorcycle with, like, a boyfriend. Car pulled out in front of him, flung her off, broke her back. She's 21. She's in a wheelchair ever since. Prime of her life.
So your dad met her when she was in a wheelchair?
My dad, I told this story on my podcast. My dad met her a couple years after that. And my mom, after the wreck, my mom met a guy, got married for like 2 months, had my half brother. He's my brother. But technically my half brother. When she gets pregnant with him, dude bounces. Told her, I don't need a kid, an unwanted kid, and a crippled wife.
Oh.
Jackass bounced. She's at such a low point. She's 22, 23, in a wheelchair, got pregnant. A kid, no husband. A year or two later, she meets my dad. My dad proposed to her. She goes, oh, she's being real somber. You don't want to marry me. I'm disabled. I got a kid.
How'd they meet?
My dad goes, only thing I want to change about you is your last name.
Wow.
Oh, pretty sweet.
Damn, I got chills. Yeah. Your dad macked her up.
My dad married a disabled woman and adopted her kid on the same day. It's like, I'm going to marry you and adopt him and let's go.
And he raised that your
raised
brother
just like
it's
own.
His kid.
Yeah.
And
great
your brother
dad.
Considers him his father.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Wow. How did they meet?
A friend of a friend. just my dad was in Nashville. My mom was in Atlanta. My mom was going through, you know, a couple years of horrible depression because of her, you know, situation. Some friends drug her up to Nashville. Hey, we're going to go hang out with these guys, these friends, you know, barbecue, whatever, for the weekend. And they met like that.
And you had mentioned that, like, your dad was, like, so instrumental in bringing you guys all together. You guys, for a while, you guys had, like, a 4-4 basketball team, and you fucking did real well, right?
Yeah, I did. I forgot that I told you that story.
That's kick-ass, dude. What a solid family.
Yeah, my dad, he was just a great dude. Just one of those guys, you know, he's in the Army.
Yeah, what did he do?
He was in the military, you know, when he was younger, but then just, you know, never had like a steady career. Just one of those guys. Just he had a real entrepreneurial spirit to him. But he was a bill collector. He did all kinds of stuff. Just owned some businesses. His main career during my childhood was like collections. He opened his own firm where like corporate collections, like people that didn't pay their credit card bills and stuff, they'd hire him to harass, you know, whoever. But yeah, just
maybe he sent that dude out there in the van, dude.
Maybe
that's who that guy was.
But yeah, just a solid dude, and just one of those guys that just never, just so selfless. Just never saw him buy anything for himself. Never considered his own feelings or interests. Just got to take care of my family. Means I got to work 70 hours a week. So be it. But just, you know, we weren't.
My dad was very, very similar.
Lived in a house. Two cul-de-sacs over. Well, obviously, you've learned a lot about dedication, devotion. I mean, it seems like that's born into you. Might have helped living in a van for a couple of years. You know, maybe if you didn't have that, you'd be like, fuck this shit.
Well, and the way I looked at it is, you know, first of all, I never even talked about it too much early on with friends and stuff because it was a self-induced hardship. Like, I didn't want pity or sympathy. Sure. It's like, no, this is my fucking idea. I'm not living in a van because I'm a heroin addict. You know, I'm trying to pursue this comedy thing, and so whatever the fuck it takes. And, like, to me, it was just, like, almost don't have to, I get to. Because what drives me with my comedy career and just anything else is, like, because I've lived so much before I even started comedy, is just I never wanted to be like a 9-to-5 guy. Just, I worked down at the Ford plant and I got 37 more years until I could retire. Ugh, that just always turned my stomach. So, and like a lot of people, you know, I spent my whole 20s trying to figure out what it was that I wanted to do. I had some careers, I did some things, but I never really, I was like, everything was like, do I want to do this when I'm 50? And then when I found comedy, it was like, oh shit, problem solved, game on, let's go. And if it meant, you know, living in a van just so I could be in L.A., fuck it. What do I care?
Have your dad and mom seen you perform comedy?
Twice, yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Good.
So, yeah, they got to see that. And one of the personal things that I was so proud of, not to, like, humble brag, but, like, I was like, I want to get a late-night spot before my parents pass. And I did that a few years ago, and that was just like, okay.
On what?
If I accomplished nothing else, my parents got to see their idiot kid on TV. Late, late show with Ferguson.
Great.
A couple years ago.
Is that up online? People can check
that
out?
Yeah, it's on YouTube or something. But like that was like a comedy goal because like my mom is playing with house money. She's what they call a paraplegic, paralyzed from the waist down. And if I understood it correctly, I think the life expectancy for someone who is a paraplegic is 49.
That's it?
She's 69. So
Go
she's like,
mom.
So I was just like, oh, mom could die at any moment.
But your mom's been in a wheelchair almost. What, 45 years?
Yeah.
More than she has.
Holy 21 shit. To 69. Yeah.
Man. Okay.
Just a trooper. And that's, and I'll wrap this family portion up, but like, that's the main thing I learned from both my mom and my dad, especially my mom was like, don't fucking complain. Someone's always got it worse.
Always.
And it was always like, yeah, that lady, my mom,
yeah,
she's got it worse.
And she's not complaining because she knows somebody was got it worse than her.
Never complained.
Amazing.
Never complained. My dad was an orphan. Just poverty stricken as a kid, ran away from home when he was like 7. Just hard life.
Ran away from home at 7.
Yeah, never complained. To an aunt's house from Detroit to Nashville. He was in foster care, bounced around, abused. Finally, he was like, "Fuck this," and he
got from Detroit to Nashville on his own.
Somehow, his aunt lined up some friends of her friends, and he hopped a ride. 7 years old.
Fuck
van.
Yeah, he did
in the van, bro.
So like both of them just had that. Shut the fuck up. Not like in a mean way, but like just shut up and do your shit. Don't complain. Someone's got it worse. You're not going to feel sorry for yourself today. Not in this house. So that, you know, that's a great thing that kind of rubbed off.
Not this Econoline. Fuck.
Well, you mentioned careers and jobs and stuff, which I want to talk about. But mm-hmm. going back to Econoline real quick, I just want to know this. Like, because I was homeless at a point, too, where I would stay at a friend's house mm-hmm. or I'd sleep in my car. I slept in my 1990 Honda Civic with original rims. I would park in, like, church parking lots because mm-hmm. I felt like people wouldn't fuck with me in yeah. a church parking lot, you mm-hmm. know? But it was Maryland winters, and I would freeze in that mm-hmm. car, and I would always be scared to turn it on because I've read even if you're in an open space, mm-hmm. still the carbon monoxide's coming yeah. up through the car. So how did you get heat? What did you do?
I didn't. And people
just blankets.
Think, yeah, people think that LA, like, oh, that's fine. People don't realize how cold it gets in the winter at night.
100%. This is
it's cold as shit.
It's
here.
Like desert climate. It'll yeah. be 80 in the day, mm-hmm. and it'll be 40 at fucking night.
Yeah, I would always monitor the temperature. Just you know, and the lowest temps I ever experienced in LA was 38.
Like 39 is what I was going to say.
Yeah,
I saw.
38, 39. Yep. Like February seems to
that's
be the
cold.
Month.
It's only 6 degrees above freezing. Yeah. It's cold.
Yeah, so just blankets and like had a really heavy duty 0 degree sleeping bag, like extreme, you know, sleeping bag and just blankets and
really splurging on that sleeping bag.
Huh? It got so cold one winter that I bought a ski mask.
Oh,
because
my.
Like when I would get all bundled,
like a robber yeah, fell asleep in the van.
When I'd get all bundled up, like my body was fine, like that, all those blankets and that sleeping bag, and I'd wear like big insulated socks and stuff, so my body was fine. But then like my face, my nose, and my mouth would just freeze. So eventually, I got the idea, just bought a blue, you know, knit ski mask and slept in that. And I always wanted someone to break in while I was wearing
the
ski mask.
That would be scary as fuck. You just pop up in the window with that thing on. They would shit themselves. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Let's talk about some of your jobs. What sure. are some of your – you said you've had some careers as the word you use.
Well,
what
yeah.
have you done?
I was a radio DJ for a few years in my late teens. Started when I was like 19.
Wow, that's early.
Yeah, yeah. I went to college 1 year on a partial football scholarship, hurt my knee, lost my scholarship, so I had to leave that.
What was the partial? Because – you partial football.
They pay know like half of it. Yeah,
yeah.
Okay. Wasn't a full ride, you yeah. know, as they say. But yeah,
what school?
West Georgia University.
And what position were you?
Linebacker and kicker. You know that classic.
I was
combo.
Gonna. I was gonna fucking joke about you're getting half tuition because you're a special teamer. I bet yeah. you do that.
But yeah, I was 5'9" linebacker because Division II. But I was good, but I was fast. I was you know a lot leaner. Obviously than I am now, but I was a pretty good athlete, but just limited with my height and my size. But yeah, I got hurt, lost my partial scholarship, had to leave that school, went to some bullshit commuter school for the rest of that year, and then just didn't know what I wanted to do, didn't like going to that school, and one day heard a commercial on the radio about a broadcasting school. So after my freshman year, I didn't go back my sophomore.
You know
year.
The shit you're listening to. You can do this
yeah.
too.
Because I was so into like music, I wanted to be a musician and stuff. Like in high school, I just didn't have any talent, but I liked the music world and the industry and being around that stuff. So I was like, oh, I'll be a radio DJ. So I had this nice Jeep, had an old Jeep CJ7 in high school.
That's a good Jeep.
Yeah, it was great. It was
turn the hubs on those.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I'll miss those.
And I sold that.
I love
to
the
pay
old
for the
dash.
Tuition. Yeah.
I wish you could. I don't. Maybe you
those
can.
Metal ones
but,
with
yeah,
the circular.
Yeah, but the big circles with yeah. the nice needle. Oh man, those are tight.
So I sold that and went to broadcasting school, and then just started doing. I worked at 9 stations in 5 years. Radio is such a weird industry where you're just constantly trying
moving
to get
up.
That next job and climb that ladder. Rarely do you know radio people stay in the same at the same station for you know 10, 20 years. So moved around a lot and really enjoyed that.
All in the South?
Yeah, yeah. All in Georgia and Florida. Yeah. Okay. So, but then like around 2000, 2001, everybody in the industry started seeing the writing on the wall with like, okay, in 5-10 years, radio is going to be a dead industry. What with, you know, iPods and downloads and shit. So, got laid off actually. Stations are always getting bought and sold. And then usually when they get bought, they change formats, you know, so like a classic rock station gets sold and then
comes country and
here
country
comes country
becomes,
or top 40.
Yeah.
So that happened to me. And, got an opportunity from there, became a tour manager for a couple heavy metal bands. Some guys I had met through radio that were Atlanta-based bands, this rap metal band called Stuck Mojo. They were big in the mid to late 90s.
Rap metal?
Rap metal. They yeah. were kind of one of the early, kind of like like they don't really get it as credited as much, but because they never reached the prominence. But like right when like Rage Against the Machine and like they kind of started that whole, which now I look back and like that like new metal, that late 90s, you know, Limp Bizkit and Korn and all that shit. And they were great, like musically they were awesome. They had this guitar player that just, I used to be a big metal head, just kind of like Pantera sounding guitar. But then they had this rapper that was like, oh, you're ruining all this shit with your stupid rap. But the same guy, so I tour managed them, and then they had another band. Basically, the core of that band, minus the singer, had another band with a new singer, Chris Jericho. Anybody's into wrestling?
Oh, yeah.
Chris Jericho's band is a band called Fozzy. So I did that for 2 years.
He sang?
He was the singer, yeah.
I never heard him. Is he a singer?
He's gotten a lot better. Like, that first album was kind of a novelty. It was all covers. It was all, like, 80s hair metal, like Maiden and Priest and stuff. And their little shtick, and it was tongue-in-cheek, but their purposeful shtick was like, hey, we've been in Japan on a bad contract for 20 years. These are our songs. Judas Priest, Van Halen, gotcha. Iron Maiden, they ripped us off.
Yeah.
So this whole album, these are our songs, you know. But since they're still together, 19 years later, and they put out 12 more albums of like original material. And they, you know, musically they were amazing because that band, those musicians were great. The first album, Jericho, just, you know, trying to learn how to sing, but he's gotten a lot better. But
so that band lasted longer than his wrestling career.
Yeah.
Jesus.
And got to, and that's while he was, you know, kind of at the in his prime wrestling days.
And how would they sell out big venues or
fairly big, you know? I remember got to, a couple times would go up to like New York and perform on like WWE Sunday Night Raw or whatever that shit is, and met The Rock, met Stone Cold Steve Austin, all that stuff. But I was their tour manager. But then I also doubled as their mascot. They had this mascot, kind of like Iron Maiden. Anybody who knows Maiden used to have Eddie. Yeah. So they wanted to have their version.
Eddie Maiden?
Their version.
He never had a last name, just Eddie.
Their version of Eddie was
the first zombie, original zombie.
Was Arthur. Arthur was a pig man, and he'd wear a prosthetic pig mask and a Boy Scout uniform, and he'd carry a chainsaw, and he had a hook for this hand. And he'd carry a chainsaw on this one. And during one particular song,
you're like, pulled pork's my fucking specialty. Yeah. So let's get at this.
So let's do this.
Every night during one particular guitar solo, once a show for like 60 seconds, I'd come out during a guitar solo. I'd come out and chase Jericho around with a live chainsaw. We'd take the chain off of it, but you know, fucking exhaust flying everywhere, and just this pig man in a Boy Scout uniform would chase Jericho around the stage, and that was me. I was the original Arthur. So
Jeez. And they still have that guy?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, there's been several, you know, reincarnations of it, or incarnations of it. But
that's hilarious.
But yeah, so did that, and
I want to hear about that landscaping business.
Yeah, then I did another career after
that.
Was
that when you were young, or
yeah, I had a landscaping business right before I started comedy, so like in my mid 20s.
So after radio, you went landscaping?
Radio, then tour.
I mean, tour manager.
Then I had a few years where I did another job that I don't really want to talk about, just because I don't talk.
Yeah, no worries.
I'll talk about that eventually in time. Crazy fucking job.
Yeah, well, listen, man. The people listening are going to be fucking waiting with bated breath.
What the fuck was that?
Not like a crazy obscure job, but just, you know, it's one that catches people off guard when I tell them I used to do that. Nothing illegal. I wasn't a male stripper or anything. Not that that's illegal.
That's not illegal, actually.
So I did that for a couple of years, and then I started my own landscaping business and did that for a few years. And
it's all still in Georgia?
Yeah. That.
So how do you even get into that? How do you just go from nothing? Just buy a lawnmower?
Just bought some equipment. I bought a trailer.
I knew back in Maryland did the same thing.
I didn't
but who'd you know?
I didn't know anybody.
You just start soliciting.
Oh, okay.
I had a truck. I had a little Ford Ranger, not even a full-size truck, a little bullshit step-side Ford Ranger, four-cylinder. So I bought
XLT.
Yeah, I can't remember. It was a
I remember
step
those.
Side.
Yeah,
it was not the splash, but it looked like the splash.
Yeah.
So I just bought a trailer, hooked it up to my little truck, and took out a small loan and bought like two really nice like industrial,
like the big ones you'd sit on.
I bought a 60-inch riding mower, zero turn radius, and then a 48-inch walk, what they call walk behind.
Yeah,
same deck, zero turn radius.
Just you and a buddy would go cut,
just
or you
me,
would do it
for like the first year. It was just me. And I would just advertise in the local paper and hand out flyers and shit. And pretty quick, I got.
How busy were you?
I stayed pretty busy. It was seasonal. Like, because in Georgia, you know, it gets really cold in the winter, so there's not a whole lot of need for landscaping.
But you didn't have plows you could put on that shit and...
No, and it wasn't
plowing
like...
all that.
We didn't have a ton of snow. It was just cold enough to where the grass would stop growing. And I had some people on a 12-month contract, so in the winter I'd come and blow their leaves and take care of little odds and ends shit. But yeah, then eventually I wound up having a couple employees. I did that for a few years. So, and I loved it. Like, I loved just working outdoors, being my own boss.
I loved it so much. I wanted to do a show, and everybody's made fun of me, but it's called I'll Cut Your Grass. Mm-hmm. And I just want to show up to your house. If you're a busy parent, single parent, whatever, you're going through cancer treatment, you got to go do chemo, you go. Go do it. You get the day off. Yeah. I'll come. I'll cut your grass. My ego is so fucking gone. I just want to be B-roll. Yeah. The story's about whoever these people are and where they're going and what they're doing. And in between segments, you got to fucking cut away. You're cutting to me. And I'm not even talking. I just got headphones on. I'm cutting your fucking grass.
There's a guy who does that in Alabama. I'll cut your grass. This black dude in Alabama. I follow him on Twitter. I don't know. He doesn't make any money. He just does it for veterans, elderly women, or elderly people, and single moms. Hey, holler at me. I'll come cut your grass for free.
That dude, that's a man after my own heart right there.
Good for you. Yep. I would love to be able to do that.
Right?
Yeah, because I like cutting grass.
If I hit a lotto or something, I would do shit like that.
Yeah.
You know, I'd go fucking cut your grass, give you a couple bucks, whatever. Let me cut your grass.
Yeah, so, yeah, I did that for like 5 years and just loved it. I just, you know, it was hard work, but like just, there's obviously a huge difference from like working hard at your job for someone else as opposed to working hard when you're the boss.
That's right.
Everything comes back to me, so I loved it, man. It was great. And then I did that leading into – that's when I started comedy, was, you know, midway through there.
Anything interesting ever happened while you were at that landscaping business?
Yeah, man. I told you this off air. I guess I'll share this real quick. Long story short, I had a commercial property like downtown Atlanta, like just west of the city in like a real industrial area. And I'd go down and it was a huge job. It'd take me like 2 days. Every 2 days out of the week was dedicated to just this job. It's just a huge property and all kind of weird little, you know, areas and isolated areas and stuff. And it was along a train track. And one day I mow, and it's funny because I had always had this experience, not this particular one, but what I'm about to share. I always had this in the back of my mind of like, because when you're on a mower all day, especially if you're like in isolated areas and ditches and the woods and stuff, I used to always think like, oh man, one day I'm going to find a dead body. Mm-hmm. Like, and not like, oh, that'd be cool, but like just, you know, a little Stand By Me, you know? And it's like,
you really thought that?
Well, yeah, just because, not like I'm going to, but just like some of the, I don't know, when you're on a mower
all day,
this is where
it's going to be dumped.
It's just, you're just in your head, you're with your thoughts. Yeah. And I would cut some of these properties where like, this would be a good place to dump a body, you know, note to self. But sure enough, swear to God, one day I'm cutting near these train tracks and I see about 20 yards from me, what looks like a dummy, like a mannequin, on the train tracks. And I go, surely not. And I was like, well, that's a mannequin because there's no head. It's a mannequin. Somebody, ha-ha, what a funny prank. Somebody put a headless mannequin on a train track. And I got closer. I was like, that's not a mannequin.
It was real?
Found a headless fucking body on a train track.
What? Hold on a second.
Headless body.
How had that not, like, I mean, unless the train was already going by and this guy then slid his head in and it got cut off.
Well, he probably hid in the bushes and waited for it to get close and then ran out. And
but I'm saying if the conductor saw that, he would probably report it and they'd go get the body. So I'm saying maybe it was a long train. Right. The dude's already around the bend and then the guy comes out and does it and that guy never even saw it. But that's...
I called the cops.
Yeah, what
and,
the fuck?
We
know. We'll be down tomorrow.
later on, I got word it was a 19-year-old Georgia Tech student
committed
suicide by laying his head across a train track. And then the joke was, I wonder how many trains came before he actually had the balls to do it. But and
that must have been hilarious then.
No blood, because it would have cauterized.
Yeah.
It like vacuum sealed the wound. Just
what?
Fucking, yeah.
Whew. You saw the head?
Mm-hmm. No, I didn't see the head.
Where was the head?
Smashed.
I think they found fucking, it. I didn't go looking
like
for
it. Like it got kicked and it rolled. Got, oh, my God. Underneath the train, bouncing around, down 300 yards. Jesus
Christ.
You
told me you kept that body to use the, you know.
As a decoy in the van?
Yeah. scare
driving the diamond
that's
lane
a scarecrow.
Carpool lane, you know.
Holy shit. Yeah. That's got to be in the newspaper and everything. So what year was that?
This was 01, 02, somewhere in
there. There's got to be a story about a 19-year-old Georgia Tech student committing suicide by decapitating himself on train tracks in 2001. Yeah. And well, that's Georgia Tech. That is Atlanta.
Yeah, it was.
What if you research that and it comes back that there was a Georgia Tech student who was decapitated while like just meditating out in like this lawn by a business, and we find out D. Stone used that machete that he had later on.
He tried to break into my van that I don't have yet.
Holy shit, man!
Yeah, man, that was weird.
And no blood or and just clean,
Like,
and did they? Like, did you have to wait there until the police came out and everything? Did they question you? Were you had to be suspect number one. You found the dead body.
Well, I mean, they asked me what I was doing and how long I'd been there. Mm-hmm. But I was like, look, all that freshly mowed grass, that's me. It's
right.
Oh, you do this property all by yourself? How many days does it take?
Takes me 2 days.
This is my cover.
Well, that body looks like it's two
Holy
days old.
Holy shit. Yeah, I've never seen a dead body like that.
Yeah.
Well, I've never seen a decapitated body. Mm. But, man, that is a Stand By Me fucking moment right there. Holy shit.
What a way to do
Teddy
it,
Teddy LaChance,
man.
Right?
What a way to do it.
Was that his name? I wouldn't forget. I wouldn't remember that. I mean, I met a guy that was, are they conductors or engineers? What is a guy that drives a train?
I don't know what the difference is.
I don't really know.
I think it's an engineer.
Is it? So I met one of these guys, and he would tell me that often what's the major? CSX? What's the major?
CSX.
Yeah, he'd work for them, and he said a lot of times homeless guys would jump on the tracks right in front of them, kill themselves. And he said, you know, then I got to stop my train. He said it takes about a mile to stop the train.
Yeah.
Then they got to get out, walk back that mile, and then they got to do, you know, they have to have the whole, it's a whole thing with everyone coming out and investigating, and it's not just that simple. And, you know, he's like, it just, you know, it's and it happens a lot more than you think.
That poor engineer has to live with the fact of watching that happen. Mm-hmm.
That's a job actually I looked into. There was a period where I was like, I'd like to be a train engineer. My high school girlfriend's dad did that for CSX, and he would just tell stories about, it's a sweet gig. You get to see parts of the country no one gets to see.
No one
gets to see, you know, some of these routes, you know.
Yeah,
I just thought
amazing.
That'd be a sweet gig.
Man.
I got a friend whose brother does that in New Hampshire because he was so passionate about trains. He just kept learning about trains, and then finally, boom, went up. He's an engineer in New Hampshire, riding some railway.
Wow. Yeah, it's got to be. And I think they make pretty good money.
That's what I was going to say. That guy said he made good money. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You had another story here about when you were 19. What's this one? Do you remember?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, that was another job I had.
You had a lot of jobs, dude.
I was
DJ, tour manager.
I have a joke about this. I'm not going to do the bit, but yeah, I used to be an undercover security guard for a grocery store in my hometown. I was undercover in the small town in which I lived.
How much?
Everybody knows.
Yeah. And that I'm not going to do the bit, but like some of the beats were like, my friends would come in. I wasn't supposed to tell anybody. My friends would come in. I'm like, what are you doing? Dave, you're here. Every time I'm here, you're here. I'm like, walk away. I'm in too deep.
So how are you dressing? Just regular?
Regular clothes. I did this job for 6 months. It was in between college and broadcasting school. And I'd work like 4 days a week. I'd work like a 5 or 6 hour shift.
Says here you're a middle linebacker.
I was going to say, what's the interview process to be trusted to? Guard the grocery store.
And what is the profit margin or loss profits if you're like someone steals fucking, I don't know, bags of popcorn versus paying you hourly?
Exactly. And I only caught like two or maybe three dudes in 6 months.
What were they trying to steal?
One guy, and again, I won't do the bit, but one guy was a mentally challenged kid that I knew. And I saw him get something from the deli, like the lady sliced it off, put the sticker on the bag, gave it to him. And I knew the guy, this guy named Grady. And he just starts walking out the door. And I'm like, oh, man. And this was my first one. It's like, shit, my first bust is going to be
down,
Grady.
Huh?
And I yell, I'm like, hey, Grady. And he looks back at me and he fucking bolted. He bolted out the door. I chased him all the way down to Walmart. He's screaming back at me. She's sound like a habit. She's sound like a habit. I'm hauling
then
ass.
Why are you running?
I'm kind of doing the bit now, but my intention was to catch up with him and like wrangle him by the t-shirt. And yeah. Us both coast to a slow roll. So I'm hauling ass. I get about 5 feet from my coat to reach out to grab him. He just stops on a dime. And I just mowed him over. I couldn't stop in time. Just laid his
that
ass out.
Landscaping experience, mowing him over right there.
And like a crowd had gathered and like, oh my God, that dude just tackled that mentally challenged kid. And sure enough.
Turkeys everywhere. God.
Grab the bag. $.07, one slice of cheese. Yeah, she probably said you could have that.
Oh,
my bad, Grady.
No.
Yeah.
That was a sample, man.
Yeah.
That was a free sample.
The what you want sample.
Yep. I chased down and tackled a mentally challenged kid over 7 cents worth of cheese. But
that story was probably, I like the new phones.
The more interesting story.
I like a good ethic.
I did catch a guy stealing a bunch of sirloin steaks. He's putting them in his winter jacket. And I saw him do the whole thing. And
you watched him load it up?
I saw everything.
Because I still have a good friend. And she dated a guy in college, and that was his thing. He would go into grocery stores in sweatpants and like bulky jackets, mm-hmm. and he would... he'd come out with 10 of them, mm-hmm. drop them right down his pants and everything, and then walk right out. I'm like, you're fucking nuts.
Yeah. And he pulled a fucking butterfly knife on me, a neon green, one of those flippity-floppity bullshits. He pulled a fucking knife
in
on
the
me.
In the grocery store?
In the sidewalk.
Well, so what happened? You approach him in the store, or you have to wait for him to leave?
You're supposed to wait till they exit the store. So I was right on his tail.
Because until then, they haven't stolen anything.
Technically, yeah.
Yeah, that's how
and
we
I
got that bullshit
I think the laws are different, depending on what jurisdiction you're in. But our... The way the law was written in Georgia, or what I was trained to do, was like, you know, wait till they get outside the store, because then
be preventative.
No doubt about it that's theft, as opposed to like you catch it in their pocket in the produce section. Like, oh
my
yeah,
hands were full.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to pay for it.
I would just watch them, and then it's like, stop playing! Yeah. Just from like an aisle over.
Cook out this weekend!
So the guy pulled
T-bones, huh?
He pulled the knife on me, and then at that point, I was like, you win.
Yeah,
I
take the motherfucking steaks,
I make
bro.
$11
Have
bucks
fun.
An hour. Yep. And he wouldn't leave. And he kept holding the knife and like shaking it. And I smelled alcohol on him. He's like 50-year-old black dude. And just like kept calling me not white boy, Peckerwood. Kept calling me Peckerwood. It's like, fuck you, Peckerwood. And I was like, hey man, my bad. I don't give a shit. You can leave. I'm not about to get stabbed over fucking steaks. It's like, I don't care. Just get the fuck out of here. Wouldn't leave. Kept holding the knife out. Like at me, but just kind of. And he wouldn't leave. And then I guess his buddy or something hollered at him from across the way. And he's holding the knife out, and he turned his head. We've been standing there like 30 seconds. I just grabbed his wrist, like trying to wrestle the knife away from him. And we wrestled for a minute. And then I don't want this to be like a tough guy story. I was taking some martial arts. I was taking a Shotokan, which is kind of like Steven Seagal karate.
Yeah.
A lot of arm breaks and chokeholds. So I grabbed a hold of his wrist, and we were both struggling for it, and I got him in a, you know, I just bent it backwards, just snapped his wrist.
You snapped it?
Yeah.
He started.
He
on starts, your resume, it says you did Shotokan. Can you tell me a little bit about Shotokan?
So, yeah. And, man, got...
Holy shit, broke his wrist.
Yeah. I didn't get in trouble, but, like, I had to talk to the cops for, like, 2 hours. My boss, I had to, like... All these like corporate like human resource had a it was a big to do and I was like there's video footage
this guy
like,
having a he's threatening your life
yeah
that's threatening your life
yeah and we stood there for like 30 seconds I was like dude just fucking you know and I just holding it was about I don't know about 2 feet from me and when he turned his head I just snatched it and then I didn't grab it but I snatched his wrist we struggled for a couple seconds and I kind of got him in a position where I was like oh you're fucked boom.
I saw this in Under Siege, motherfucker.
So, yeah, good times at the old Ingalls grocery store in Canton, Georgia.
Wow, dude.
Home of the Hall of Fame, baby.
You have lived the life, yeah. My friend. This is
Forrest Gump.
This has been a lot of fun, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, we got to get out of here. I have to get out of here. But thank you so much for coming
guys.
On. These are great stories, dude.
Oh, thanks,
you've... You've lived rich. I mean,
made them all up.
By rich, I mean the stories, the content, not necessarily to my finances.
Yeah.
Fridges and mashed potatoes.
Yeah. It's great to finally get you on here. Thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Will you promote again, please, your podcast,
sure.
Your social media, your website?
Boogie Monster Podcast with young upstart comedian Kyle Kinane. You know, I thought let's give this kid a break and get him some exposure. But no, every Tuesday we're on Starburns Audio. Not that that matters. I don't understand all like we switched over and now like listeners are like, where's the RSS feed? And I don't understand how any of that works. But every Tuesday you can find us wherever you get podcasts. And dumbdavestow.com for all the tour dates and Dave Stone Comedy on Twitter. So.
Great, man. Thanks for coming over. Always good to see you. Yeah. As always, jlarsoncomedy.com, jlarsoncomedy on all social media.
RyanSickler.com, Ryan Sickler on all social media. We'll talk to y'all next Tuesday.